with me, please, as we open in prayer. It is with great joy, our Father, that we can come together on a day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that as we look into your word today, that you might have that which will strengthen us and encourage us, that we might be better servants of yours and to bring glory to your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. All right, so you got to relax this morning. All right, you got to relax. Let your thinking start. You know, don't let it overrun you, but relax. Think. Open your mouth. Stretch it. All right. And talk to me. All right. I promise that I won't embarrass you. All right. I'm going to ask you a question. And I'd like you to see how many answers you can come up with. Okay. The question is, what makes Christians different than all other religions' followers? Okay. Well, you got to give me time here. Okay. Well, that's all right that she came up with. She had an answer right on the tip of her tongue. Well, what'd you say? Okay, I got to write that down so I remember it. Living Savior. Okay. What else makes Christians or Christianity different than other religions? Okay, so we obey a law. Is that right? What you say? Obey a law. All right. We believe the Bible. Okay. Write that down. Believe. The Bible. Okay. Oh, Holy Spirit living. Yeah. Okay. Anything else that you can think of? What makes us different? Okay, hope of hereafter. Based on faith. Not works. Okay?
I think based on what pastor was preaching on the past couple of weeks.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of a way of saying a unique conscience something. Okay. Okay, a free conscience or okay, conscience different from okay.
So it's all other types of religions are made for you.
Okay. So, an unchanging faith. Okay. 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 Does it work? Okay. Let me take you back now and ask you to think a little bit about some of those things that you said. And are they something that is unique about us? Okay? Or do other religions have some semblance of those things to them? All right? Let me, first of all, pick off obey a law. All right? Jane up here said we have the Ten Commandments, so to speak. Okay, and I have been talking to you about Deuteronomy and about the law of God. All right, are we the only religion that has a law that is to be followed? What other ones have a law that everybody follows? Okay, the Jews, obviously. All right, having the same book. Okay, what? Islam has law. Okay. Okay. The Mormons have a set rules that are followed. Okay. So that one, I don't necessarily is a unique one. Okay. Now, when we look at it, we look at it and say, yeah, there's something unique about that that we've looked at. It can change. All right. And very, very similar. However, in our own situation, we tend to want to sometimes change those things in our own thinking. All right, and then when we look at them, we observe them, we then curve, shy away from some of those things that we did see. All right. How about believe in the Bible? Okay. Is that unique to us? No, not necessarily, right? Okay, because do the Mormons believe in the Bible? Yeah. Okay, they believe in the Bible, except. Okay, when convenient, or it doesn't contradict their other scriptures. Okay, in that term, I'm looking at Bible more as scripture, a written thing that's followed. All right, of course you got the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, they'll say they believe in the Bible, but we got the Watchtower Society's writings. Okay, along with that. What, the Jews? Yep. Jews have most of what we have here. Okay.
Islam refers to the Bible and the Bible.
Yeah. But, there's always a but someplace. Okay. If we're talking about this particular book, there's always a but or an addition that's made to it. And then other religions, of course, have their own scriptures. All right? the Buddhists have their own scriptures, the writings of Prince Siddhartha. In fact, I was when we were in Hawaii, we were staying at this one place, and so I pulled out the drawers looking for a Bible, and there were the writings of the Buddhas were there. Okay, which was interesting. I pulled it out and I started reading it. All right, found out some interesting things. Okay. So scriptures is so, or it does not make us unique. Okay, it's how we handle them that makes us unique. Okay. Let me see. The other ones are pretty much, that's an unchanging faith. Pretty solid there. All right. Now, I do want to take us back. One of the things is that we said there right off the bat, somebody said, we have a living Savior. Okay? A living Savior. Okay? Is that unique among world religions? Okay? It is something that is unique. And that's where I wanted us to start today in what I want us to look at. And so, what I'm going to ask you to do, unfortunately, we got to turn a lot of pages here today. All right, not my favorite thing to do, but we're going to turn some pages. But the first part's pretty easy because it's all in the book of John. So if you turn there, first of all, to John chapter 6. Now, these are all pretty, should be all pretty familiar to you. What we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the statements, the I am statements concerning our Lord. All right. And we have here direct statements of him about who he is. And so as we look at them, I want you to pay close attention to the ones I direct you to. And I want you to look for a word that keeps repeating itself in all of the references that I lead you to. And once you've discovered this word, if we go to the other ones that are there, you can also see it not directly, but indirectly related to the other I ams that he gives to us. All right. So the first one is John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, what did he say? The whole thing here, the rest of the verse. What does it say? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, never thirst. Okay. Same chapter, verse 51. Now remember, what are we doing? We're looking for a word that keeps repeating itself in these. Okay? So, John 6:51, he says, I am the living bread. If any man eats this bread, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Okay. Over a couple of pages to John 8 and verse 12. Again, we have I am. Oh, by the way, I am is not the word I'm asking you to look for. Okay? I'm not looking for the or darn. Okay. Where are we at? 8:12? Then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. But shall have the light of life. And then in John 10, we have him speaking about being the good shepherd. And we won't read all of the statements that he makes there. In 7, he says, I am to them. I am the door of the sheep. In 10:9, he says, I am the door. And in 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. But in verse 11 is where I want you to concentrate. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Okay. Then John 11:25. On 11:25. Jesus said unto her, okay. And one more. 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am okay. Now, other than I am and maybe some other little words that are there, there was one word that showed up in all of those I am statements. What? Life. And other forms of it. Live. Okay? Now, what's that? Okay, he said the bread of life, the light of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right. Now, even in the other I am statements, for instance, when we go to John 15. Where it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Then in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me. Okay? The same shall bring forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Even there you can see the aspect of life that's there. So, one of the things that makes us very different from other religions in our belief is that we have a living Savior, a Savior that has life for us. Okay? And as opposed to all the others. Now, Sylvia had mentioned earlier that we have a hope of the hereafter, and she says that it was based on faith and not on our own works. Now, we have, as she said, a hope. Not a goal. Other religions have a goal. Because it says, if I do such and such, then such and such will happen. One of the interesting things about when I was reading in the book of Buddha is that a lot of the things that he said there were the same things that were said by Jesus Christ. But there was a big difference. Because when Jesus Christ said them, it was the idea of putting our trust in Him. Whereas when Buddha says them, it's the idea of, if I can do this, then I will achieve this. There was a goal in sight for him. For us, we do not have a goal. We have a hope. And notice, it's a noun. It is not a verb. Okay? We have something out there. Not a progression that gets us there. Now, what is the hope that we have? We have a hope of eternal life. I could agree with you there, except when I read in Scripture, the idea is that we already have eternal life. Okay? He that believes in me shall never perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. Okay, different phrasing there, essentially the same, but there's a slight difference in what's meant there. All right? We have that. Okay? But there's something that we don't have yet. That is the hope to come. What's that? Salvation. Again, when we read, don't we find where it says we are saved already? Now, what's that? Being with Christ. Does it say I'm with you always? Okay. Now, I'm not picking on you. I want you to think about it. One of the things when I got into Greek class, one of the things that we did was talk about salvation. And yet, salvation is past, present, and future. Okay, so there is part of salvation that we don't have. And basically, it's the hope that we're talking about yet, that we don't have. We shall be like Him. That's part of it. We shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. That's part of the hope, right there. What's that? I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new life. Okay, that's the wrong tune to that song, but all right. But it's there. That's right. We got a hope that we're going to have a resurrected body. Nobody else has that. Well, I can't say that because the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to have that, according to them. But not all of them are going to have the same thing. Okay, some of them have weird things. Okay. But Buddha wasn't going to have a resurrected body. Okay? He wanted to progress to a point of enlightenment. Okay? That was his goal. Okay? But our hope is that we will have a resurrected body. Now, what do we mean when we speak of resurrection? A lot of people that call themselves Christians have some strange ideas about resurrection. Now, what do we mean when we speak of resurrection?
Rising from the dead.
Okay. Some people will say that, well, we've already done that. What's that? A new life. When you say a new life, what do you mean by a new life? A life without sin. Okay. Could we not have that now? Yeah, not the way I live, anyway.
You still have
the
flesh.
What's that?
You still have the flesh.
Oh, so you're saying my resurrected body, I don't have the flesh.
No. We still have the sin nature.
Oh, a sin nature. A sin nature. A nature that wants to make me sin. Okay. So that's something that's should be different then, right? Okay. Dan? It is. I think so. Okay. All right. So when we speak of the resurrection, we need to have an understanding of it, and It's a point that where we I got to issue a caution, a very strong warning, because as we look at the resurrection, sometimes we will let me read what I said here. Never get carried away with speculation about it. Where very little is said to us by the Lord, often people will speculate about it. Their opinion will get written down, and after so many times of somebody else reading it, it's no longer a speculation. Even if that person said, "I'm speculating about it," it now becomes fact, and it gets carried on down in their teaching as a fact about what things are. And that's why we need to constantly come back to the Scriptures and see what it says for ourselves about it. And that's exactly what's happened with people like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They got written down, and now that becomes their Scripture for them, even though it says clearly in the Scripture that what they're talking about can't be what it is. But it becomes their thought, and they constantly rehash it and rehash it so that that is their belief, and it's not based upon what the Scriptures have said. Now, so I take you, I'll read for you, I'll jump my point here. John 11, starting at verse 21. John 11, and verse 21. Of course, this is the chapter where Jesus is away. Lazarus is sick. He's been sent for, but he doesn't come back. Lazarus dies. He gets buried. He's in the grave for 3 days. And as he's coming back, in verse 21, Martha hears about it, that he's back, and she goes out to see him. And she says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Okay, very important verse there. If Jesus had been there, no death would have taken place. Okay, she was confident in him that he had the power to heal her brother, no matter what the illness was, and that there would have been no death. Okay? Sort of carries over for us. What if Jesus were here today? Would Pastor be in the hospital and me standing here? Okay? Would we be going down to the funeral home if Jesus were standing here today with us every minute in person? No. Okay? Because isn't that part of our hope? That one of these days he'll be standing here with us in person all the time, never to leave. Okay? Won't have to be called to come back because he'll be here. Okay? And then she says to him, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Okay? There's the promise. Your brother shall rise again. Again, and Martha said unto him, in verse 24, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And she said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Back in verse 24, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." How did Martha know that? I'm sure sometime during those little lessons that he sat down in her house, or that she was out there with him some other place, that he probably said that. Okay. But even if Jesus had not been there and said it to her, she would have known. How would she have known? It says in the Old Testament. And one of the things I'm I've become much more careful about is this. I don't try to make the New Testament say something that the Old Testament doesn't. Okay? Because they teach the same things. Now, sometimes we just don't realize it. Sometimes we spend all our time in the New Testament reading what's there, and we don't bother to look back at what it said in the Old Testament. But it's there. And so, for the remainder of our time this morning, I want you to see in the Old Testament where it is. Okay, so we're going to jump around a little bit. So first place, we go to the oldest book in the Bible.
What is it?
Job.
Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Well, and this leads us back to there. Yeah, we have our scriptures. Okay? And our scriptures are alive. And our scriptures are the same. And they don't change. And that's how we know. That's how Martha knew. That's how we know. Okay? Job 19, verses 25 through 27. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. There's alive. Okay? You can't come alive unless you have a living... A living what? A living Savior. A living Redeemer. You can't do it. And that's another place that we really need, that you really need to start to understand the resurrection. Okay? Paul will speak of it again later in another place in the New Testament. But if Christ be not raised from the grave, okay, we don't have hope. We don't have one. Okay? And if you don't believe that Christ was raised from the grave, you don't have a hope. Okay? And that's right there is where the Jehovah's Witnesses fall. Okay? Now, they'll tell you they believe he rose from the grave. But what they mean by when he rose from the grave is a whole lot different than what we believe in. Okay? They do not believe that he arose physically from the grave. Okay? And so that wipes out what their understanding of the resurrection is right there. And so we have all the passages at the ends of the gospel that explicitly tell us that Jesus Christ arose on the third day. And if you can't believe that, then you have no hope. But Job believed it long before he heard about Jesus Christ. He knew that God was his Redeemer, and that his Redeemer lived, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Very important. Where is he going to stand? On the earth. The Redeemer will stand on the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet, what's he say? In my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So even from the very beginning, okay, even from the very beginnings here, there was the hope that there would be a resurrection. And at that resurrection, that they would see God. And it would be in the flesh. In Psalm, we come to chapter 16. In verses 9 through 11. And we know from the New Testament that this particular statement here deals with Christ in particular. Okay? And his resurrection. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Okay, so we know this one in particular deals with the resurrection of Christ. However, it's also speaking David's heart concerning what will happen to him in this situation. In chapter 17, in verse 15 of Psalms, it says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Sounds like something we already said from the New Testament already, right? When we see him, we shall be like him. Okay. Psalm 49 and verse 15. Sorry here, I'm not giving you time to turn sometimes here. Psalm 49 and verse 15. "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Selah. This is the second time that the word redeem has shown up here in the Old Testament. Okay, I just wanted to indicate to you, if you happen to be studying redemption, that this is part of the redemption, okay? The doctrine of redemption and the doctrine of resurrection are tied together. Then, over to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And verse 20. Psalm 71, 20. "Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth." Okay? That we would be brought up again. Now, all those were poetry. Prophetic poetry, yes, of course. And now we turn to the prophets themselves, okay, where God speaks through them directly to people. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. Isaiah 26 and verse 19. "Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Okay, so there's direct statements here. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Daniel 12 and verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And then down in verse 13. "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." And finally, in the Old Testament, we have Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. And he says here, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Okay? Remember the statement in the New Testament, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? That's sort of a transliteration of this particular verse that we have here. So we can see from the Old Testament that the resurrection was always taught. Okay? And if we continue, we'll take a look at the New Testament and then concentrate on specifically for us the resurrection associated with those that believe on Jesus Christ. Okay? And exactly what it's like. Okay. Our Father, we thank you for your word and that from time immemorial you have directed the writers of the scripture to tell us that we will be resurrected, raised again from the dust of the earth in which we sometimes have to sleep until the time comes when you bring us the final redemption. Now we ask your guidance in the rest of this day and in our thoughts and in our minds that you will guide us and direct us in Jesus Christ's name and for your glory. We pray. Amen.